Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today we are right in the middle of our Trinity season. Green is on the altar. We pray that God would grow us in His Word, in His truth, and in His gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 608, Lord, to You I Make Confession. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. And we pray that God, who finds lost things like you and me, would again find us with the power and forgiveness of His Word. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day. We thank You for the gift of Your Word, especially the Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank You that while we are lost, You seek us out. You seek us out and find us and save us and give us true value and true worth. Heavenly Father, bless us today with the true faith, with the knowledge, the sincere belief that Your love for us is greater than our sin. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. setting three, page 184. Page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit for the day.
And forgive.
us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, multiply your mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is from Micah, chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. I call to God, and the Lord will save me. He redeems my soul in safety. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his servants, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing now our hymn of the day, Chief of Sinners Though I Be, hymn 611. Please be seated.
Thank you. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is that gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 15th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke, dear friends in Christ. Friedrich Wilhelm Nietzsche was the son of a Lutheran pastor, and in fact, he trained for the ministry himself. However, he soon turned against his faith, his baptism, and God himself, becoming one of the most bitter atheists that the world has ever known. He came to consider Christianity a blot on the history of humanity. Nietzsche declared God dead. And then he dedicated his career to writing the obituary. But despite his hard heart, Nietzsche was a tortured soul, groping in the dark for God. And shortly before he became insane, he cried out to Christians, to people like you and me, "You must sing me a better song, so that I learn to believe in your Redeemer. Why are his disciples so joyless in their salvation?" This hardened atheist, who died over 100 years ago, looked at Christians, at people like you and me, and what does he criticize? A lack of joy. Now, where would such a lack of joy come from? Certainly not from Jesus. Jesus exuded joy, for he had come to welcome sinners with joy. His joy was in spending time with those who were outcast, those who have fallen in almost any way possible. Listen to the first verse of our text. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. Jesus preached a message of repentance, of forgiveness, of welcome and freedom to those mired in their sin, and people listened. He pulled up a chair with prostitutes, with tax collectors, with the lame and the crippled, all who felt the effect of their sin. Not like the world, excusing or celebrating that sin, excusing or celebrating being lost, but finding the lost ones through calling to repentance. For Jesus had come to seek out and find the lost. These people needed Jesus because they had become lost from God because of their sin. And so they needed someone to come and rescue them. Jesus is that shepherd that he talks about in our text. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Jesus came to seek out wandering sheep, to find them, those who are lost in the wilderness or in the house, wherever they may be found. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? Jesus goes out into the wilderness and houses of this sinful world, into every corner of our planet, and yes, even into the pews and membership lists of our churches. It's no mistake that the word for lost in our text for today is the same word used throughout the New Testament to describe death and eternal destruction. Those who were lost were condemned to death for their sin. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, to find them and to bring them to safety. Why? Because he loves them. He does not wish for them to remain lost, and he knows the danger that faces them. And when he finds them, he has great joy. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Jesus rejoices with every lost sheep found, every lost sheep brought back to his Father. And he invites all people to join him at a banquet of rejoicing. But there's a group of people who refuses to join the banquet. We hear a little bit more about them if we had continued chapter 15 and read the parable of the prodigal son. They're the older brother standing outside the feast. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." They have no joy in the reception of sinners by Jesus. In fact, they look down upon those people. They can't believe that Jesus is wasting his time with them. There's no joy at a sinner being brought back to the Lord. Instead, there is a sense of outrage, of wounded pride. "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Never mind that the Pharisees and scribes were to care for God's people, shepherd that flock, that it was their task, in fact, to help bring in the wandering sheep. No matter that we, as Christians, are to be the instruments of Christ as he seeks out the lost, those who have wandered. No, it seems much easier to stand stubbornly outside the feast and shake our heads, wondering why Jesus would deal with those people. It is much easier to have no joy. Perhaps that is what Nietzsche saw when he said to us, "Why are his disciples so joyless in his salvation?" For the 99 others do not realize that they are lost themselves. They are content to stay in the wilderness outside the feast. Jesus describes the 99 as those who, quote unquote, need no repentance. And there's more than a little irony in Jesus' words. You should be able to catch this. There is not a single person on this planet, now or ever, that had no need of repentance. All are sinful. All need to repent of their sins. So what's the difference? The 99 are those who think they don't need repentance. They don't realize they are lost. They don't see the wilderness for what it is, a place of danger, a place of death, and so they stay there, comfortably grazing away. They're self-righteous. They're convinced that they are all right with God, that they need no repentance. They scoff at those whom Jesus has to go out and find. Well, it's a good thing I'm not like those people. And so what happens to these sheep? Jesus will not bring home sheep who stubbornly refuse to admit that they are lost, and so they remain in the wilderness, lost and wandering forever. That is why Jesus speaks these parables. Yes, to remind us and teach us of how we were lost and now have been found, but he speaks this against the scribes, the Pharisees, the 99 self-righteous, to convince them, to convince us that we are lost. He speaks this parable out of love, because he loves those sheep and coins as well. He loves you. For Jesus Christ came to seek out all the lost, you and me, bringing us out of the wilderness and into the banquet feast. All who despair of their sin, all who know that they need deliverance from sin and death, are brought by Jesus to his Father with great joy. He even seeks out those who obstinately refuse to see that they are in the wilderness, calling them from their blindness with the word of the law, with parables like the ones in our text. We were all those wandering sheep, unable even to realize that we were lost. But Jesus came as our shepherd to find wandering and stubborn sheep, those lost in their trespasses and sins. This isn't easy, or else we could do it ourselves. Or else we could change ourselves from lost to found. A price must be paid. Jesus must do the work. The work of paying, the work of finding. The shepherd put the burden of that stinky, smelly, heavy sheep upon his shoulder and brought it home. That woman spent the entire day sweeping the floor and cleaning her house. Jesus gives everything he has for lost sheep. He takes the burden of our sin upon his shoulders, that stinky, smelly, terrible mess, and he bears them to the cross. He gave up his very own life into death as the payment for lost and wandering sheep, submitting to the humiliation and shame of suffering and death for our sake. He spent the entire day in hard labor, harsh labor, bitter labor, the labor of suffering, the labor of death, the labor of paying the price. His innocent life, his precious blood, was the price to redeem us, and he paid it in full, submitting to the torture and the humiliation of sinful people and the full wrath of God in our place. And having paid that price to bring us home, having submitted to death on our behalf, Jesus goes forth to seek us out through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word and the precious sacraments. His word, proclaimed forth from this pulpit or in your private conversations in your life, seek out wandering sheep. And Jesus works through that word to bring the lost home to the Father. In holy baptism, Jesus brings lost sheep home, claiming you as his own with the water, washing of the water and the word. Rejoice, dear friends, rejoice, for you are found. Christ has claimed you as his own. He has sought you out when you were lost and brought you back to himself. After finding her coin, the woman in Jesus' parable said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Now, she's a little crazy. because she invites her friends and her neighbors to join her in a feast that probably cost more than the coin she lost. Just like a shepherd who would throw a party that was probably worth more than the sheep he found. Jesus gives us the explanation. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Every sinner that Christ brings to the Father is cause for celebration, a party in heaven, for rejoicing, for a feast. That is what heaven is, the victory feast of all who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. There will be rejoicing there we cannot imagine. Joy sung by the angel choirs. Joy from those whom Christ sought out and brought to the Father. Joy from those who have been delivered from sin and death through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Heaven is the banquet of joy. And you and I will be a part of it, seated with all the redeemed at a feast that lasts for eternity. And those of you who know me well know that that's my favorite picture of heaven. A feast, a joyous feast, the tables laid in full. In fact, even here on this earth, we are a part of that joyous banquet, even today. Each and every time we come to this rail and receive Christ's body and blood. Here we eat with Christ. We partake of the Lord's body and blood with our fellow sinners. Those who have also been found by the Lord, who seeks out and finds the lost. And we rejoice. We find joy in the redemption of Christ, in his shed blood, in his seeking and finding of you and me. And we have great joy every time that Christ finds another sinner in the wilderness or in the house and brings him or her to the feast. Someday he will bring us to our heavenly home like the shepherd did in our text. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. On that day, he will present you to his Father with great joy. And you will join in that joy for all eternity. Joy for Jesus, joy for the angels, joy for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand, we sing our offertory, page 192.
Welcome to the one who brings joy through the forgiveness of our sins. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the joy that only God can provide through Jesus would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. We continue now with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able. In addition to those prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we continue to pray for Good Shepherd member Arlene Haydenfelt, who has been dismissed from the hospital and is now recuperating at Tabitha. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. Lord of heaven and earth, consider our afflictions and troubles and forgive all our sins. To you we lift up our souls. In you we trust. Let us never be put to shame. Seek us when we stray. Work in us repentance, and by the voice of your Son, our Good Shepherd, bring us back into your joy-filled fold. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of the harvest, send forth workers into your vineyard and bless the pastors and teachers of your church. Preserve them from all error, false belief, or other great shame and vice. Bless their preaching and teaching, that it would lead hearers to confess with St. Paul that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. Heavenly Father, we ask for a special measure of your blessing upon Pastor Murundi as he prepares for a move to Fort Wayne and a new charge. We ask your blessings upon Vicar Short as he comes near the end of his vicarage, and Vicar Bader, as he prepares to join us. And we also ask for a special measure of your blessing upon former Vicar Evan Scammon, who is ordained into the office of the Holy Ministry this day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Defend your holy church throughout the world. Keep her safe from all harm and danger. Defend those who suffer for your name's sake, and give them boldness to confess the faith no matter the consequences. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all our families, and especially on this day, all called to the vocation of fatherhood, that they might faithfully provide and care for those entrusted to them in both body and soul. Bless all those who mourn their fathers, and prepare them for a joyful reunion in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Support and defend all those who are facing any trials or tribulation in their lives, those in any want or need, those who are burdened with animosity in the home, workplace, or community, those who are suffering from any illness or grieving the loss of loved ones. This day we lay before you Michelle, Glenn, Donna, Katie, Diane, Charlotte, Celeste, Janet, Ed, Pam, Kurt, Larry, Donna, Kyra, Sherry, Nicole, Ron, Ralph, Cindy, Anna, Scott, Eleanor, Joe, Deborah, Lucy, Karen, Anita, Nadine, Louisa, Lori, Lyle, Jake, Al, Arnold, Ron, Willis, Sylvia, Bill, Shay, Julia, Arlene, and all those that we remember in our hearts. We also ask for a special measure of your loving touch upon the family of Ray Mathis, father of Shelley Kurtzer, and the family of Nancy Beathy, wife of Dick. May their comfort be in the resurrected Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you call all your penitent children to the feast of Holy Communion. Grant that we who receive this most holy feast of Christ's body and blood today would be strengthened in our faith and encouraged to love one another as Christ has loved us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ shed for you.
very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We stand.
Lord, now bless all thy servant. Depart in peace.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Be seated for our closing hymn, 632. 632. and welcome in the name of Jesus, the source of our joy, both temporal and eternal. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. You're all invited for coffee and goodies. Sunday school opening in here in about 7 or 8 minutes or so. We'll continue our look at the formula of Concord and the topic of eternal election or predestination. That'll be in the fellowship hall. I've asked Pastor Morundi and Matt Phillips to give us a brief account or rundown of the district convention, which was Friday and Saturday in Kearney. Pastor, did you lose your faith at the district convention?
I'm still a Christian.
You're still a Christian. Okay. Well, then it was a good convention. We'll expand on that at the Bible study time. On Tuesday of this week, the call committee met, and we all know, sadly, Pastor Morundi is leaving. His farewell is the 8th of July. Call committee met on Tuesday of this week. We had originally sent 25 names into the district. We got 20 names back from the district, and the call committee has narrowed that list down to four. So, a week from Tuesday night at our regularly scheduled voters meeting, I believe that's the 26th, Tuesday the 26th, the call committee will present those four names to the congregation for a possible call. Voters meeting is at 7 o'clock. We'll have all the information on the pastors available at 6 o'clock. If you'd like to come early, that information can't leave the church. So, and also, we're not publicizing the names of these four guys yet. They don't have a call, and at this point in time, it would be premature and would cause possible damage to their congregations and all that. So be patient. We got about 9 days to wait, and then on the 26th, we'll deal with that, as well as the regular business of the church at the voters assembly. Pastor, anything else? Vicar? Blood drive?
Blood drive, July 3rd. July 3rd, 8 to 2. For me, you met with the blood drive representative, Greg Cross, this last week, and they were hoping for 30. We're hoping for a little more than that. So we would appreciate it if you would come out. You know, Pastor Brady and Pastor Bobby will be the first ones to get blood. So
We're gonna arm wrestle to see who gives blood first. Yeah, the real sweet lady from the Red Cross says, "Oh, how many people do you think you can get to donate blood from Good Shepherd? Maybe 20, maybe 30." And I said, "It better be closer to 100 than 20 or 30." So here is your challenge. And I know several of you give blood other places, and praise be to God for that. But our vicar has sick blood. He can't give blood. If it wouldn't be for other people donating blood, there's a good chance he would be in heaven. So there you have it. I can't say it any more bluntly than that. The first two donors on this day will be Pastor Poppy and Pastor Morundi, and we'll determine who goes first. Age before beauty is probably the one thing that comes to my mind. It's the day before a holiday. I know that's not an ideal day. 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And they would prefer if you did a scheduled an appointment. Walk-ins are welcome, but they would prefer if you scheduled an appointment. That way, if more people show up than they think are going to show up, they'll have enough staff on hand to take care of that. Can also use a couple of people to help with greeting out front and maybe lunch. So we're putting the guy who can't give blood in complete control of organizing that. So if you'd like to help, but you can't give, or you want to make sandwiches or whatever, talk to Vicar. And this is a one-time deal. And if there's a good response, it could turn into more than a one-time deal. So we'll just kind of leave it at that. Is that enough, Vicar?
Just youth stuff leaving next Sunday.
Yeah. Youth group is taking off after first service next week. So
I couldn't tell who was talking or hear them, so thank you. All right, join us for coffee and goodies, the study of God's Word. Have a great day in the joy that is the forgiveness of sins.